It is 9 a.m. in the East Coast. It is in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is April 27, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are celebrating Passover, the holiday that represents freedom and liberty and exodus of the Jewish people, or the Israelites, as they call it then, from bondage, from slavery to freedom. Now, let's talk about it for a second before we start with all the news, because I must give you some time of God, because this is a place where God rules and Almighty, as it's saying here, and I really want to share with you one of my thoughts. Now, we got a Bible. The Bible is the most popular book in the world. You can have it everywhere, in every language. You can read it, and you can read it as a book. You can read it as a story. You can believe it's God's word alive. Once you do that, you are assuming also the fact that that story, every story of the Bible, represents a lesson that we people have to learn. It's not the Jewish people as per se. It's not about the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the sample that you need to understand by them the lesson, because they're people that try everything, do everything, and they still fail at, you know, their shortcoming is resounded all around history. So we're not pretending that they're perfect. We're not pretending that, life is great for the Jewish people anywhere in the globe, anytime in history, too. We're just thinking about it as an example. That's why enlightenment is not something that you do by yourself always. You always learn from other people's mistakes so you don't repeat them, right? So freedom. The people of Israel had to go by mighty hand of God, and they... The question was, what is a mighty hand? A mighty hand, when somebody has to liberate himself from bondage of any kind, from a kind of bondage of, you know, slavery to the computer, slavery to the telephone, slavery to food, to drug, to drinking, to anything, he needs to have a mighty hand. It's God's blessing, of course, and a lot of prayer, but you need to be tenacious. You need to move from one part of yourself and do an act of courage. I'm doing that. So you get free. Now, before that, you get all the signals. You know, the Egyptian had all those 10 plagues, right? Now, 10 plagues, what they represent? Those incredible crises that happens just before there is a breakthrough. And the breakthrough went through, you know, all those 10 plagues. So when you start having those moments in your life, when the plagues of whatever disaster, that it's the fulfilling of, you know, change, something is about to happens, you don't always take them like, oh, it's bad. Sometimes they say good things happen from the most incredible places. So they got the plague. They had the mighty God of liberation, that he liberated the Israelite from the bondage, and he took them through the desert, and they parted the sea, parted the Dead Sea. Now think about it. What does it mean to be a, you know, by all means today, this world, when you walk in God's Almighty, you have to understand that you have to keep your heart in a safe place, that God will be with you. You cannot stop thinking that it will be okay. All right? You must believe. Once you start believing, you start walking, and, you know, the sea will part for you. Then you walk, and your supply, whatever you had, you know, to eat, God will provide, because he is the God, you believe in him, right? As long as you keep keep on the belief system in yourself, things will happen to you. And every lesson of successful people will teach you. You must believe. And it's not by magic. And just remember, they always say, be careful what you wish for because you might get it, but you don't know how you're going to get it, right? So be careful. You ask for freedom. You go out from bondage. You go with an almighty spirit and you keep on and God provides, right? And you successfully arrive. Now we're getting to the rule of conduct. After you get liberated, what's happened? You have to watch for the Easter again. We're going back to the Bible. We have a holiday coming after this holiday of Passover, the blessed holiday of Passover. We have the Shavuot, you know, the another one of the mighty three holidays of Israel. And you have that holiday that is the culmination of all teaching. You learn to get the rules of order and law, the Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments are basic for all humanity. It's nothing special for one or other. It's basic Ten Commandments that say, I'm your God, and there shall no be any other God upon me. What part of it you don't understand? It's there is one God only for all of us. It's not, you know, a different one for everyone. We are all the same people under one sky. That's something we need to get a grasp with already. We are in a different generation. It's over this different. Doesn't matter how you practice. It's fair. It's your ancestor. It's your respectful. But you need to accept the others as they are. So you have the Ten Commandments, which gives you the rules of five what to do and five not. Keep the Sabbath. Keep Sabbath as the keeping of a day rest, like God did. And I know that everybody have it in every calendar. If they call it Sabbath for you is Sunday, or call it Sabbath for us is Saturday. It's Sabbath. And then the basic rule of conduct. Now, once we don't operate under the same, once we operate all under the same conduct, we can start thinking about it. And that's how we can conduct the world. That's how we can live. Now, anybody who decides that, you know, their God is better than somebody else's God, which is not possible because there is one God only, you have a problem. And that's what we have. And I'm talking about this and I'm giving you all this because we are in the midst right now of the liberation of the Syrian people from bondage. They wanted, they had the spirit, they move on, they move and they took their family and they took boats and many of them didn't make them and they got out. But now we need to come together to think how we're going to work. It's basic order. People, we have it happen before. We'll learn from history. Let's practice it. So now we can go to relate to these days and listen to what I gather for you from the situation in Syria.
Refugees are not just numbers. They're human beings, like you and I, except that they have seen unspeakable horror. Have experienced unthinkable tragedy and hardship. They risk everything, their families, their possessions, just to make it to safety. And listening to the stories that I heard today and meeting many of those refugees, I think it's impossible to really understand the magnitude of this crisis until you come face to face with it. And it's very difficult for me to decide which story is more harrowing than the other.
All right. Well, I think that couldn't hear it well, but that was Queen Noor, the Queen of Jordan, visiting the camps in Greece. She complained about the situation and she understands the condition that they are in, and we all have to help help those people. It doesn't matter who they are, you know, wherever they are people, and we are obligated as humanity to help each other. So let's listen to some more.
I cannot deny that everyone in the meeting was disappointed, indeed, many of them actually frustrated, by the lack of new convoys reaching, in particular, some areas which, as you know, have been identified as besieged and identified by also the various international documents. We have not been able, we have not been able to reach so far Douma, Daraya, East Arasta, and we need to do more to Madamia, Zabadani, Kefraya, and Fua. And there are 5.8 million Syrian people who are being reached by the UN, NGOs who are doing remarkable work as well, and of course in some places the government as well, in the areas controlled by the government, every month by food, 5.8 million Syrians. 1 million Syrians are being reached in February and January with non-food items, and 6.8 million have been reached by every month for assistance on water and sanitation. But that doesn't take away what I just said at the beginning. Disappointment, frustration indeed, particularly in this period where we are expecting incremental improvement of reaching places which are besieged. On the Palmyra, there is obviously an important signal that the international community wants to give in order to make sure that this unique place, important for the whole world, is restored as soon as possible, in terms, at least in terms of security. So there has been some updates on the demining, which has already been done by the Russian Federation, but also the possibility, and we had a briefing from UNMAS, the UN organization specialized in demining, on how they can be actually contributing to demining.
All right, we're back. That was Stefan Mistura, the gentleman that worked so hard in Switzerland to help the refugee crisis, and is working hard to create an environment where the ceasefire continue. Remember, we had a kind of a sporadic fire and bombing and whatever you want there, and they didn't you know, didn't help by for the NGOs to work. So by all means, please, let's get control over the situation. This, you know, the intermediate government needs to be in place and needs to take control over the situation. And those cities that are still under siege will be reached sooner or later. Now, we have some news from President Obama in regard to that, and maybe we can put it now so we can listen to his comment in regards.
We need a strong Europe to bear its share of the burden working with us on behalf of our collective security. The United States has an extraordinary military, the best the world's ever known, but the nature of today's threats means we can't deal with these challenges by ourselves. Right now, the most urgent threat to our nations is ISIL, and that's why we're united in our determination to destroy it. And we continue to make progress, pushing ISIL back from territory that it controlled. And just as I've approved additional support for Iraqi forces against ISIL, I've decided to increase U.S. support for local forces fighting ISIL in Syria. A small number of American special operations forces are already on the ground in Syria, and their expertise has been critical as local forces have driven ISIL out of key areas. So given the success, I've approved the deployment of up to 250 additional U.S. personnel in Syria, including special forces, to keep up this momentum. And that said, NATO's central mission is and always will be our solemn duty, our Article 5 commitment to our common defense. And that's why we'll continue to bolster the defense of our frontline allies in Poland and Romania and the Baltic states. And all these persistent challenges, and I want good relations with Russia, and have invested a lot in good relations with Russia, but we need to keep sanctions on Russia in place until Russia fully implements the Minsk agreements that Chancellor Merkel and President Ulan and others have worked so hard to maintain and provide a path for a political resolution of this issue. And it unsettles us. It makes us as you go forward, you can be confident that your greatest ally and friend, the United States of America, stands with you shoulder to shoulder, now and forever, because a united Europe, once the dream of a few, remains the hope of the many and a necessity for us all. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, that was President Obama talking about the situation in Syria, and how he sends 250 U.S. troops to the special forces to Syria in order to help on the ground. It means that they're going to liberate the stronghold of ISIS, and before you know it, it's going to be a change of events. And the collaboration with Russia, of course, is very much welcomed by the American government and by all parties, because that coalition is a very strong entity, and it's a peaceful idea message to the rest of the world that the big countries, the big powers are working together to make it. Make it happen, to seize the day with Syria. And of course, there is a few leftover that they have to do with the end of the Ukraine war. And of course, there is the Germans that are playing a major role there. And it's all started, just remember, by the fact that Ukraine wanted to become a part of the EU, which would bring the EU so close to Russia that it was a threat, and it's all started there. So I'm not saying anything, who is right, who is wrong, but I'm just saying that when you bring an ally, just think about his neighbor. Think how it's influenced the whole scheme of things. It's like what the Saudis are doing in Egypt. And the peace accord that Egypt has with Israel, the fact that there is a bridge to be built between two continents, and nobody even asked what really God wants, what's the purpose of all this thing? I have God in my mind. I'm saying nobody asks what the peace accord actually means and how you can change hands of a territory that was agreed upon by a consensus international peace accord between Israel and Egypt in 1977. So that Saudis did not take it to consideration. And I know that they have a little sensitive moment in the world, because they feel a lot of pressure by the report of 28 pages of 9/11 that will reveal the connection of the Saudi contacts, which everybody knew about it. So I think that the neighbors are playing nice or better. So let's start moving on to the right direction of growth. Remember, in order to get out from this mess, Tony Robbins, my guru, my credible master of teaching of success, teach us all. You need to continue to have progress. You need to keep on going. Whatever it is, just keep it going, all right? So now let's listen to some music, and we're going to keep it going ourselves. All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio, the radio for the people, by the people, and it's for you all to take a part of it and be the voice of your community, a voice in the world to tell the world what you're thinking and how we can affect it. Now, the idea of Syria liberating itself from bondage, that's putting it, for the Passover ideas, I think we need to push a little and make sure that all parties are playing right. Because as far as I heard, it's shaking. And in Switzerland, the talks were supposed to be on Wednesday, today, the turns of events. So I got another segment that I want you to listen to.
They have been still incidents and not a bushfire. And therefore, we consider, and I've been discussing it with all concerned, that in spite of the several and serious incidents, the cessation of hostilities is still holding, particularly when we compare to what used to be in the past. We need to make sure at any cost that the cessation of hostilities in spirit and in substance continues to give hope to the Syrian people. Because as you know, that's what has made all of them believing that in fact, even if they have to wait for the intra-Syrian talks, their lives are being at least improved. We need to make sure that if incidents on this cessation of hostilities are too often repeated, they could at least deteriorate the spirit and the confidence in it. And that's why perhaps it would be good timing for a reaffirmation by those who have been supporting and promoting the cessation of hostilities in their faith and determination in protecting it.
So, Mr. De Mistura, there is...
When we come here, we came here to negotiate. And therefore, with all respect to statements, the reality is that at a certain point, we are going to go deeper and deeper into the issue of political transition.
All right, you understand that it's a little nitty-gritty ideas to make a solution now when the Russians are still there and they keep on fighting, because there is a few things that still happen on the ground, and God be with all of them, and all those are boys, children, running around, and a soldier, and people, that go and work for freedom and liberty, the U.S. troops on the grounds. God bless you guys all. Be safe and make sure that this war is over soon. Okay? And on that note, we're going to have to talk about what the Muslim Brotherhood actually want from all this why we're fighting them. We need to fight them and we need to win, and there is no other way to solve the situation only by victory, because their plan is not smart to follow, and their plan is destruction. So let's listen to that.
So we've established that one of the greatest single threats to our national security is Islamic extremism. And I've been even watching videos that of things that you've talked about on the internet of this extreme mentality has actually infiltrated the highest realms of our government by a plan developed by the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. The Muslim Brotherhood wrote a plan. We all hear about the Muslim Brotherhood, and we heard a lot about them with the Arab Spring. Remember the Arab Spring?
Egypt.
Everybody was so excited about democracy has come to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And who was driving the Arab Spring? The Muslim Brotherhood. Now, our government I mean, I remember giving interviews on the radio, and they, you know, and I'm saying, this is a disaster. These are the Muslim Brotherhoods who want to establish the caliphate, the Islamic State. And people would say, no, but look at them. You know, they're all in suits and they're wearing jeans and they look so educated. Well, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood is the most educated group in Egypt. And when you look at the founding of people who are members of the Muslim Brotherhood, Osama bin Laden was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muhammad Atta, the ringleader of the September 11th attack, was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He was an engineer. Ayman al-Zawahiri, who's the head of Al-Qaeda, is a member, was a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's a surgeon. So we're not talking about stupid people. We're talking about highly educated people. So the Muslim Brotherhood wrote a plan, a 100-year plan for radical Islam to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. In the counterterrorism circles, this plan became known as the Project. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood was established in 1928. This is one thing that most Americans did not realize, because with the Arab Spring, everybody thought, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood is a new phenomenon. The Muslim Brotherhood was established in 1928 for the sole purpose of reestablishing the caliphate, or the Islamic State, resurrecting the Islamic State. Since then, the Muslim Brotherhood has established 70 offshoot Islamic organizations, including Al-Qaeda and Hamas, and now ISIS. The head of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, was in our prisons in 2011 as a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So the Muslim Brotherhood wrote a plan, a 100-year plan for radical Islam to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. They already established it. The caliphate has already been established now, right?
Yes.
The Islamic State has been established. They started implementing their plan in Europe in the 80s. And what they talk in the plan is they give tactics and proposals on how to infiltrate the West, how to use our laws against us, how to use our open-mindedness against us. Mm. They talk about how to use buzzwords like tolerance, democracy, mm-hmm. interfaith, diversity, mm-hmm. in order to con Westerners. So they say if you use those words, they'll be lapping out of your hands like dogs. They'll be disarmed. They talk about how to use our laws against us. They talk about how to get democratically elected Muslims on all levels in the West, including government, NGOs, etc. They talk about how to get Muslim interns in all offices in the West so they can have an insider eye view, a bird's eye view as to how policy is done on the highest levels. They talk about how to get democratically elected Muslims to all governments in the West. And so they wrote the plan for the destruction of the United States in 1991. Here is the plan. The plan is titled Mudhakkara Tafsiriya lil Hadaf al Istrateji al Aam lil Jama'a fi America al Shamaliya. Did you all get that?
No.
No. Please read it again.
Okay.
It's translated. Translate it, please.
It's written an explanatory memorandum of the general strategic goal for the group in North America, written 5/22/1991. Now, this document was presented as evidence in the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government sued the Holy Land Foundation for funneling and raising millions of dollars in America to finance terrorism overseas. Mm-hmm. And they handed down 108 guilty verdicts in that trial to Muslim American and Muslim American organizations raising money. So here is the plan. In this plan, I'm just going to quote you one paragraph that will give you an idea mm-hmm. of what the Muslim Brotherhood is talking about. They talk about understanding the role of the Muslim Brother in North America. They say the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process, meaning a cultural jihad process, with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands, meaning our hands, and the hands of the believers, meaning the Ikhwan, the Brotherhood, so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, do they mince words? Is there anything vague
about this? No. Nothing vague.
We have never been faced with an enemy that tells us exactly why they hate us. They have no hidden agendas. They don't beat around the bush. They tell us why they hate us. They not only tell us how they hate us or why, they issue press releases about it. They write plans about it. They put it on the internet. They even record a video press releases and send it to Al Jazeera to air worldwide. We cannot say we did not know how much they hate us.
Wow.
We can no longer hide and say they hate us.
Right. Now,
but the most important part of this plan is the last page.
Okay.
Because the last page lists 29 front Islamic organizations set up in America for the sole purpose of the destruction of the United States. Now, a lot of you have heard some of these names, but I'm going to say some to you. Number one on the list is ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's because they are now advisors to President Obama about Middle East policy. The president of ISNA wrote President Obama's speech, his first famous speech to the Arabic world. The president of ISNA wrote that speech. So we not only have the Fox watching the hen house, we have the Fox inside the White House talking policy in the ear of the president. And you wonder why our president has thrown our allies under the bus and is cozying up to our enemies. Number two on the list is the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. The Muslim Student Association has more chapters on American college campuses than the Democrats and the Republicans combined.
That's shocking.
And we wonder how we're losing our universities. Number eight on the list is NAIT, the North American Islamic Trust. The North American Islamic Trust holds the deed to over 90% of mosques in the United States. Actually, the mosque that President Obama went and spoke at, remember a few weeks ago he went and he gave that address? That mosque is owned by NAIT, is linked to ISNA, and that imam who preached at that mosque, we ended up killing in Yemen because after he left the mosque, he became an operative for Al-Qaeda in Yemen. And that same mosque has been under surveillance by the FBI because its members were plotting to blow up government buildings. And that's the mosque that Obama chose to go visit and speak at a few weeks ago to talk about tolerance. And the last example I want to give is an organization called IAP, number 22 on the list, which later became CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, which a lot of our audience is probably familiar with CARE. And by the way, if you go to our website, actforamerica.org, and click on the Muslim Brotherhood, you will be able to get a listing of all these front organizations listed here so you can read about them all. We link their founders, who they are connected to, who their friends are, how infiltrated they are into our government, how they are advising our government. It's beyond belief.
All right, all right, all right, guys. That was something that we all knew, let's say, that the American government and the FBI been surveilling a lot of those activities, so it's not new stuff. And of course, it's all saying Brigitte Gabriel is one of the most vocal person. She used to be Muslim, and I think she's Christian now. And she actually want to live in peaceful, and she understand what they're saying, and that's why we don't want to have the Islamic caliphate anywhere in the world. That's why President did well to send more troops to help defeat the enemy of democracy and the Western world. And we're going to succeed. There is no question about it. It's going to be not the if, it's when we're going to do it. All right? So she's probably panicking because she knows them better than anybody coming from there. But we need to understand that the world is powerful. The Western civilization didn't arrive to the position it is today just because. We've been through two world war, and we all know that the third one is not for us to take. Our decision-making is easy on that level. We're not doing it. So we're turning our attention and trying to solve the problem and we're working together. And sometimes it seems like we're all fighting, or maybe we are crossing each other's path, like happens probably in the Middle East, that it's so little. We had last week a revelation about, you know, that there is like a crisscross of airplanes in the north. And that's why Prime Minister Netanyahu decided to come along and said, you know, the Golan Heights, the high point to protect Israel, is going to be in Israel land for quite some time now. And this is a territorial security mode, and everybody needs to understand that. Nobody accepted it, but they all understand the situation. So it's just to say, you know, you guys have to back off, go a little north. You cannot crisscross like, you know, the Russians are doing with American territory. You know, there is like a practice of fire. We all too close. So bear in mind, we all have to come to play and pretend like nothing happens as far as if somebody cross and keep on going. All right? Let's get some music and we'll be back after that. With love to Italy, since Eros is coming to Israel, and the show, the great, great festival of music is going to happen on April 30th. And it's going to be awesome because Eros Ramazzotti, you know, knows to rock, knows to dance, knows to play music great, and he's a great artist. It took him 30 years to arrive to these days, so... I remember still when he was a rising star. I was there in Italy. I grew up on him, so it was good. And now it's even better. He's there. Now, in Israel, they are, you know, waiting for so many artists to come. We have Carlos Santana that is going to visit Israel, too. And we all are waiting to learn when is Beyonce is going to come. You know, this is going to be great if she's going to come, because we have great designers, great, you know, makeup artists, and great, great hairdresser. Remember, the last great singer that visited, Mariah Carey, she took our best hairdresser with her. Now he's on tour with her because he is fantastic. And, of course, she got him and he accepted her offer. So Beyonce, by all means, I know it's little, I know Israel is tiny, but we are special and we have good stuff. So come on, don't be shy, all right? I would love to meet you, but God willing, you never know. Doesn't depend on me, of course. Anyway, so April 30th, 2016, we have Eros Ramazzotti, and I want to tell something about the Italian action these days. The Italians are being instrumental in implementing so many agreements lately. That is overwhelming. I'm so proud to have the privilege to know the Italian people and to be a part of many of their actions. And behind the scene, they've been working so hard to help Libya to work some kind of agreement in Europe. Now they are planting new plants for cheeses, and I'm not going to tell more because they are covering, you know, all the news about it. But news are coming out about cheese factories that they're going to place in, you know, controversial places, we may say. But it might create a mode of understanding and division. And since Europe is going to become one thing, we can accept that there will not be any problem on that front. So I trust. Anyway, we had Superior Tuesday yesterday, and of course, I'm not going to talk much about the presidential race because it's overwhelmingly confusing, say the least. I'm not taking part of the hoo-ha against right or left because, as far as I'm concerned, I like Reagan. I like JFK. Presidential that give you honor and you can remember forever. Those people that I want to be elected. And all of those now that are running the circus, as they say, it's too much for me. But let's give it to Donald Trump that is keeping it up. So let's listen to this.
You have this alliance that took place between Kasich and Cruz. It didn't get a lot of good favorable reaction from what I saw on social media. But on top of that, there were a lot of reports tonight that Ted Cruz may, in fact, even announce a vice presidential candidate as a means of bringing energy to his campaign. You're shaking your head before I even finish the question. Why is that?
We're
friends, so you can do that. That's fine.
Look, there are two parts to this. The first is you have two guys who are the weaker of the three candidates bringing weakness to each other. Because in a year when people are angry about politics and they're angry about deal making, to be openly, publicly trying to make a deal like this personifies everything people are already mad about. Second, and I think Trump is exactly right about this. You don't start thinking about the vice presidential nominee till you have the delegates. The idea that the guy who's losing is now going to announce his vice presidential nominee doesn't make any sense at all to me, because it makes it look like the person's out of touch with reality. I mean, aren't they aware of the fact that they're not winning?
Let me go through this last question, and I promise I'll let you go home and go to sleep. I know you had a long trip back from Europe. So as of tonight, Trump has won 27 state or territory of those contests. He's won 27. Cruz has won 11. Rubio's won 3. Kasich has won 1. If he falls short, 50 delegates, let's just say. Will they be able to take it away from him at that convention? No. And what would be the reaction if they did?
Look, you would have a nationwide movement bringing pressure to bear on Cleveland. Now, the other side can't offer this. I mean, the other side, remember, right now is characterized by stop Trump. They're not characterized by positives. They're not characterized by here's the better future. They're stop Trump. But Trump represents a very profound rebellion against the current political establishment. And those millions of people, the people who are showing up at all of these big rallies, those millions of people are going to do whatever it takes. I mean, you could have an amazing number of people coming to Cleveland if they thought this was going to get stolen.
All right. You guys, we'll follow up. You guys will follow up on it, and let's see if you can make a decision who's going to be the next American president. Whoever or wherever she is, I wish them all the best, and I really pray for safety of Americans everywhere in the world. And I know that you guys are the strong beacon of liberty, and I am with you. I love you, and I miss you so much. And whatever it is, let it be November, because I can't take it anymore. My son is driving me crazy because he's a young guy, and they love him in California. They love Sanders in California. So for them, let's for the sake of godliness, I must say something. When a bird ran on Bernie Sanders' podium, that was a sign. If you guys want it or not, you know, the coincidence in that rally, in a big such rally, to come around and have a bird must have got divine providence, right? So when you get a sign like this, I would say, listen, I'm with God, so wherever you choose, it's fine. But maybe we have to reconsider what we are doing, and maybe giving Sanders is still in play. Maybe we should give him some advice. And I will give him advice like this. Mr. Senator, dear Senator Bernie Sanders, my brother Jew, I know you came to Israel many years ago, so you understand the Middle East, and you understand that there is some friction. But, you know, liberal and friction are not really doing the tricks. We need moderate. We need moderation. So please take a good advisor to teach you the facts. I know being in the Senate a long time, you know everything that need to be known. But there are little tricks of the international politics that need to be skewed. So I really hopeful that if God wants us to have such a president, it will be for good of humanity, okay? So having said that, I'm saying, by all means, you guys, go fight it. And until the election is in, I'll play music. Not a problem, right? Anyway, you guys know that I've been in the politics for the last 25 years. I remember myself walking with my mother to a rally when I was five. So it's not actively, you know, working was 25 years, probably more. But what I'm saying is that you know that there is stuff that you cannot predict. You know that there are the wild cards and the jokers in the group that you never know when they're going to show up. And especially those high-ranking candidates like Clinton and Donald Trump, which they have history. They know. They've been famous for a long time. It's not like they come out of the shadow now. There are stories there, and there are some indictments there. There are some, you know, work. So whatever happens, just don't despair. There is somebody else is in charge, and there is a God, and it's not us. So by all means, I send you, with all my love, happy freedom holiday to all of you guys. Remember, we are here to make it happen. We are here to make our soul worthy of the life we got given to us. All right? So from here in Israel, the Holy Land, God bless you all. I love you, miss you. Talk to you next week. God bless. Ciao, ciao.